On today's show, we're talking about books, films, and TV shows that have made Haynes famous around the world. And Heather Lendy is here to talk with us about kind of how she came to be a writer and write about daily life in Haynes. She's widely read all over and kind of gives people a glimpse into our lives here. It may be normal to us, but to people around the world, it's a pretty interesting place. So I was hoping first we could talk a little bit about kind of how you got into this over the years.
K-H-N-S.
K-H-N-S.
Was the very beginning. When I was a young mom with a three-month-old baby, I came over here and volunteered, and I ended up working at the station, signing on in the morning and doing the little morning news part. And then worked here for, I don't know, five or six years maybe in the 80s. And then when I left the radio station, the news directors at the time asked me if I would do these little slice of life pieces that I used to just sort of say on my show kind of thing, and do them Friday to run for Friday evening and then Monday morning, because there used to be three newscasts that were like 15 minutes long or whatever, and they had to fill them. And they said, you know, two to three minutes, 400 words. I was sort of trained to do them. And I did those, and they ended up being pretty popular, and they were picked up by the Alaska Public Radio Network and then by the Christian Science Monitor and then Morning Edition.
Wow.
And then what happened was an editor in New York heard one of the pieces on Morning Edition and called me up and asked if I wanted to write a book. And at the time, I'd already been writing other pieces. I'd been also doing Duly Noted for the newspaper. And I had...
A classic.
Yes, and I had started writing obituaries. And that was the thing, I think, that affected my writing the most, because of the stories and the people and the relationships in a small place. And how, I think, initially, you know, where I fit in as someone that was an immigrant to Haynes and not from here. And so that was what my first book really was looking at Haynes through the lens of a fledgling obituary writer. And then it kind of went from there, and I ended up doing columns for the Anchorage Daily News and other places, and Women's Day, did a column for them for a couple years, and in the meantime kept writing books with the same publisher and the same editor.
Mm-hmm.
And
did you know kind of immediately like what you wanted these books to look like or sound like, or did it take a while to kind of develop, you know, a writing style and figure out how you wanted this to read?
I am much more confident, or I used to be more confident in my ability to speak and tell a story than to write one. My writing, that's why I liked radio so much, because I would just hand write them. And then as I was reading them, I could change words and fix it. And that, I know they were talking earlier about the value of the voice and inflection. And so I could say something that was funny, but without being making fun of someone, where I wasn't always sure that I could write that way, you know. So I could tell a story that I just found delightful in a good way, without I don't think hurting anyone's feelings. And so I was confident the way I told it would help, and the writing I wasn't always sure that it would come off on the page that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I still try to. I mean, that's my goal in all of my writing, is to sound as if I'm basically speaking on the radio or talking to a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And that ends up being the reader.
Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, in terms of talking or writing about Haynes, when you were kind of first starting out, were there things that were difficult to get across about this community that you wanted to like share with people, but you didn't really know how? I mean,
from the beginning, I think I was determined not to just do sort of the Alaska cliche stuff. You know, I was
like
writing, well, like, you know, everybody thinks we're in like log cabins on dirt roads. Uh-huh. And all that. And, you know, Haynes has sidewalks and it has office buildings. And, you know, friends lived in apartments. I lived in an apartment above a lumberyard, you know, when I first started writing. And so I tried to, you know, yeah, there was the big Alaska part, but a lot of it was just the small town part. And
mm-hmm.
both of those things to me were really unique, because I grew up outside of New York City in a big suburb, nowhere near small town life, and certainly nowhere near wilderness or mountains or snowy places, and as isolated. So all that was new to me, the plains, the fairies, the bears, the moose. But the biggest thing for me was being part of a small community. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that I still think is the draw of my stories as much as Alaska. There were plenty of, I realized that, you know, there's lots of Alaskan writers, like, you know, the late Richard Nelson, for instance, you know, that just write beautifully about the place and the land. And, you know, Kim Haycox or Lynn Schooler, those guys, just, they're really knowledgeable, and that's their beat. And for mine, it's people. And I think in a way that's why my books were popular, because that's universal. You know, people have friends, relatives, spouses, they die, they're born, they go to weddings, they go to funerals, they go to parties, you know, they go to ball games, they take walks with their friends or dogs, and all those things then can be in their imagination when they're reading mine. They're just dropped down in a really pretty place. Mm-hmm. But it's still a connection, a human connection.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, so these are kind of universal themes you're talking about, but, you know, Haines is this special place to you, obviously. I mean, do you think that you would be doing this kind of stuff, doing these kinds of commentaries or writing about the place you were living, like, even if you weren't in Haines, or is it this place specifically?
I've thought about that a lot, and I think so. I mean, I think this place prompted it, but when I go other places, I'm like, why isn't somebody writing about this? Mm-hmm. You know, I go out to Dutch Harbor, for instance, I'm like, oh my gosh, I could come here and just be full of stories. Or I go to, on vacation to Mexico, and I think, well, this is a story, you know, mm-hmm. whether it's the hotel or whether it's the airport. Or, you know, I always wonder when I'm down south and I'm driving somewhere, like when you're going, especially in the Midwest, and there's, you know, those farms and the houses, and then this long distance and these houses out on the highway, and you think, what's the worldview of someone living there? You know, and that's why reading is so great. I mean, you could read Alice Munro, or you could read, there are people that write about place and those kind of things. And I just think it's interesting. I think the way people live is fascinating. I just read a Davis Sedaris piece in The New Yorker about his house in North Carolina and a hurricane. I'm just like, his family and the way he writes about them, and his partner Hugh, and, you know, this whole thing. I'm just like, I just love this.
Yeah.
And it's not the way I live or write, but I'm really interested in sort of what goes on in people's lives.
Yeah, there's unique community everywhere.
Everywhere, and you know, families and stories, and I that's why I always encourage people to do it. Say, oh, well, I don't live in such a cool place. I'm like, oh, trust me, you probably do if you just looked around.
And then, so we were talking the other day, and you're actually giving me some advice on how to speak on the radio.
I didn't mean to, Henry. It wasn't.
No, it was good advice. It was good advice. I like it. But you were saying that it's you speak to your audience as if you're speaking to your mother, someone very supportive of you. And
right.
I thought that was really interesting.
Well, I learned that when I first was on the air at KHNS. That's what I was told by, mm-hmm. There was Jeff Young or Nick Morrison, Deborah Schnabel. There was people that came in and trained you. And they said, Heather, never say, you know, hello out there. Hello, you listeners. Hello, audience. Don't think of when you're sitting in this little control room of like bleachers full of people. You know, all of Haines and Kluckwan and Skagway are just sitting there looking at you going, is she going to make a mistake? Instead, think of one person like your mom, and who is just thrilled that you're on the radio. And they're like, go, girl,
so
you are doing great. And they're proud of you. And that's who you're talking to all the time. Mm-hmm. And I do that in my writing as well.
Writing about difficult subjects.
Yeah, I'm never talking to critics, ever. Mm-hmm. I think that way lies disaster, when you're on the defensive and you're back on your heels and you're trying to defend yourself. I think you just have to put it out there. This is my experience. This is the way I feel. And I think it's something that you might be interested in, mm-hmm. you know. And or this is what I saw today, and it's just this great story, and I want to tell you about it, mm-hmm. because there's some good people out there in the world, and this is what they're doing. And so that's the way I write still. I read everything out loud before I send it anywhere. And you know, my personal writing. I mean, there's work writing or like obituaries are different because there's a format and everything. It's not necessarily in my voice, but I think the sensibility of what I'm looking for is still there. You know, what makes someone tick and what's a worthwhile thing to share about their life and what doesn't need to be shared.
And then, I mean, with your writing, do you divide your writing into categories where like, okay, this is for people living outside of Haines, this is for people living inside of Haines, or is there not that division? Because, I mean, you write obituaries for the newspaper, obviously, and that's something that, you know, people read and they hear about loved ones who have passed on, and that's a very local type of writing, you know. You might not have to provide the same context you would provide in
obviously
a book,
you don't have to say, you know, if someone was adopted into the Eagle Clan, you don't have to go through a whole paragraph about what that means.
Yeah.
If I do something outside, I might have to once explain it in a long book, not every time.
Yeah.
And I really try not to have that sort of tour guide-y book. I mean, if I pick up a book by James Lee Burke and he's writing about New Orleans, he's not explaining to me what a beignet is. I have to look it up because I didn't even know how to pronounce it, but I looked it up. But he doesn't say, oh, in New Orleans they make this. And somehow in Alaska we're like, oh, and smoked salmon. Well, you see, we catch these sockeye salmon, but there's five species, and then you go off and people are just like, what is she talking about? We just want to go back to what that woman was doing in the boat.
Yeah.
And so I think I try, you know, that way. The other interesting thing was I started a blog a while ago. It was like 2010, I think, as part of a master's degree program. I had to have a project that was related to real life writing. And I'd already had two books written and columns and stuff. So I was like, what could I do that'd be different? And I was a little afraid of online stuff. So
What about the online stuff?
It just wasn't something I was all that interested in. And then I ended up having to figure out how to do a blog and how to do a web page and all those things, which of course now I'm really glad I have those skills. But I assumed that the blog would only be read by people from outside of Haines. I didn't think anybody would look at it from Haines. And it actually, I think, is more popular in Haines in some ways. People would talk to me that I feel bad when I don't do it because then they say, we were counting on you to tell us this and that. But I write that in my mind, thinking that it's for people from outside, but it's still very local, and people here seem to like it. And
Do you know why? Is there an explanation?
I don't know. Just a connection. I don't know. It's chatty and short. But but the other thing is, and I felt bad. I didn't write it very regularly during my term on the assembly because I didn't want it to become political, precisely as you say, because I didn't think people from outside of here would be really interested in that. And I also didn't think people from here would be very interested in that since they got enough of me in the newspaper on the radio. So that really, that really influenced my writing. So my goal is to get back into doing that regularly and to get my confidence back in terms of local people reading what I'm writing, that way.
Yeah. And so, yeah, you've just finished a term on the Hainesboro Assembly. And I understand there's a new book coming out about your time in local politics.
Yes.
How was writing that book kind of different from past books you've written?
I wasn't going to write it in the first place.
Okay.
I had no intention of writing.
Did someone have to convince you?
I have editors and, you know, the agents and like, Heather, you got to come up with something to write. And then plus I couldn't write a column while I was on the assembly because I was serving in office. And so I couldn't do my Anchorage Daily News column, because then it would be seen as promoting yourself or something politically. And I really wasn't going to, but my habit is I write a lot. So I wrote all the way through it, but I didn't publish it on a blog or in a column or anywhere. And some of it was fairly dark, as you can imagine, Henry, from covering it. And so I just, you know, I'd come home from a meeting and I'd write about this stuff and I'd take notes or things that people said and did. And I just did that compulsively because I had to talk to somebody and it's how I figure out the world. And then, of course, then along came the recall. And there's a story, you know, that matches with national stuff and how what is going on. And so then I thought, well, maybe I'll write something about the recall. But it ended up after many drafts and many changes, because I write a lot of really bad stuff that should never be published. And it evolved into, I think a book that I'm proud of. It was one of the harder books to write because there was some pretty tough stuff about myself that I had to, you know, acknowledge or look at, and also the community that I love dearly. There was some hard moments there. So, but I think in the writing of it, I came out on a better place than before, and maybe it'll help other people who are running for local office, or help people who follow politics to understand, you know, how they engage with elected officials. There may be better ways to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, this it's kind of a cliche now to talk about the politically divisive times we live in, but you know, Morning Edition from NPR did a story about the recall effort. This American Life did a story about a similar recall effort in Homer. You know, why do you think the politics of these small Alaskan towns are interesting to a national audience?
Oh, because, well, I think for two reasons. I think one is because we mirror, you know, the national mood in some ways. But I think the other one that is more fascinating to the outside is that because we all live together and know each other and depend on each other, and that's very different than, you know, Democrats and Republicans with a big D and a big R in down south. I mean, even whole states, they live in different places where, you know, people can go to churches without people that vote differently from them, or go to have their kids go to schools where everybody's, you know, raising money on the one hand for Planned Parenthood or on the other for the NRA. And that just here, it's might be both all the time. Mm-hmm. And so I think in a way, there's hope in small places for what we can bring to it. You know, we can survive it. I mean, you think about even the recall, both the, you know, the pros, the pro recall people and the people who were targeted are all still here, mm-hmm. you know, and we're all shopping in the same grocery stores and we're all going to the same games or maybe even the same weddings and the same funerals. Mm-hmm. And we have to say hello. Mm-hmm. And that might not happen in other places. And so that, you know, makes me feel somewhat hopeful. Mm-hmm. And I think also people here care. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that was as true when I wrote my first book. I talked about that. I mean, our recall wasn't the first one. I think there was two before that in Haines, maybe three historically. Yeah. It's what we do around here. It used to be a joke, you know, if you don't like them, start a recall petition. Yeah. And it still is kind of funny until you're on the other side of it. But yeah. It's good that we live in a town where people pay attention. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a plus. Mm-hmm. And where people still want to run for office or serve on committees, and where people still want to, you know, spend a lot of their time yelling at them. Mm-hmm.
So when can people read about your experience?
When you want to know what it says, huh? Yeah. In June. The book officially is coming out in June 2020. There's going to be advanced reader copies, I think, around coming up in January. So the press and bookstores and things like that will get copies of it. And I did have a handful of readers in Haines have read it and gone through it just to help me to make sure, you know, for accuracy and tone and stuff like that before it's all gone through different people with different areas of expertise. So I'm pretty comfortable. Yeah.
That was one last thing I was hoping we could get to. That's kind of a difficult question to end on. But in terms of, you know, you write about a lot of personal things. You write obituaries. You write about personal life. And, you know, I'm just, has that been difficult? Does that get you into trouble with people ever? Or how do you kind of manage writing about these sensitive issues?
I pretty much stick to things that are in the public, you know, arena. Uh-huh. I mean, in other words, you know, things that are said at funerals that have the whole town's invited and there's been a fundraiser and we've raised $20,000 for that or something. Mm-hmm. Or things that my response to them. Mm-hmm. And I say nice things, or I don't say the person's name. I tend to default, my default position usually is to make fun of myself for my response to it in some ways. But I don't write about everything, obviously. Mm-hmm. And the things that I write about that are personal are usually, by the time I've written about them, that whole thing is not as personal as it seems. But then I try to bring that back. And that's why I think the new book was hard to write in that, because I had to bring all those feelings back again, that right. even after I was sort of past a lot of them, just mm-hmm. in the moments in it, because mm-hmm. that's what, you know, I mean, I think that's what good writing does. It moves the human heart. And if you don't do that, then it's just a lecture or, you know, a how-to book or something. Yeah. And I'm not good at those. I'm not clever enough to do that, but I think a lot about how we live and how we relate and what it means to be a human being. And I think a real community illustrating that, and this one in particular, is pretty great.
Well, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. You're listening to Lynn Canal Voice on KHNS. We've been speaking with Heather Lendy about how she's got into writing in the first place and what's to come in the future. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Henry. It was very nice to be asked.